नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती दे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हे कृष्ण करुणसिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्त कञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासारि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रयेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, and we're reading, I believe, verse 20. Okay. I was told verse 21, and so I might also discuss verse 21, and I found out this morning it's verse 20. Not the first time this happens. You're meditating, you've been told a certain verse, okay, and then you read, and then you want to think about that verse, and then, oh, it's not that verse, it's another verse. What to do? It's a blessing in disguise, actually. Okay. So, who is speaking these verses in chapter 15? Narada, yes, none other than Narada. So, Srila Prabhupada once said that Narada is our guru. So, we can think like that. He is enlightening us. He is one of our most important acharyas. Kamasyantam hi kshutridyam. Kamasyantam hi kshutridyam. Krodasya tat palodayat. Krodhasya tat palodayat. Jano yati na lobhasya. Jano yati na lobhasya. Jitva bhuktva disho bhuva. Jitva bhuktva disho bhuva. Kamasyantam hikshutridyam. Krodasyai tat phalodayat. Jano yati na lobhasya. Jitva bhuktva disho bhuva. By the desire for sense gratification, or the urgent needs of the body. Antam, end. He, indeed. Kshutridyam, by one who is very hungry or thirsty. Krodhasya, of anger. Etat, this. Pala udayat, by venting chastisement and its reaction. Jana, a person. Yati, crosses over. Na, not. Lobhasya, greed. Jitva, conquering. Bhuktva, enjoying. Disha, all directions. Bhuva, of the globe. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, the strong bodily desires and needs of a person disturbed by hunger and thirst are certainly satisfied when he eats. Similarly, if one becomes very angry, that anger is satisfied by chastisement and its reaction. But as for greed, even if a greedy person has conquered all the directions of the world or has enjoyed everything in the world, still he will not be satisfied. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 3:37, it is stated that lust, anger, and greed are the causes of the conditioned soul's bondage in this material world. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhava. When strong lusty desires for sense gratification are unfulfilled, one becomes angry. This anger can be satisfied when one chastises his enemy. But when there is an increase in loba or greed, which is the greatest enemy caused by rajoguna, the mode of passion, how can one advance in Krishna consciousness? If one is very greedy to enhance his Krishna consciousness, this is a great boon. Tatra lohulyam ekalam mulam. This is the best path available. Mukam karati vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam. This chapter is called Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Srila Prabhupada, he was the one who was giving these chapter names. We don't find this in the original Sanskrit of the Bhagavatam, but he would give appropriate chapter names, or it was also some of the editors of the BBT who were giving chapter names. In any case, this is a nice title, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Srila Prabhupada so many times would speak on this subject, what it means to be civilized society as opposed to uncivilized. There's this famous comment made by Mahatma Gandhi when he first visited England. And one journalist was interviewing him, and he asked Gandhiji, "So, what do you think of our Western civilization?" And Gandhi's reply was, "I think that would be a good idea. I think it would be a good idea." The implication being, there is no civilization here. Where is the civilization? It would be good if you would have civilization, but you don't have civilization. What is civilization? It is that which distinguishes human beings from animals. And what is it that distinguishes human beings from animals? We understand it is Dharma. That is stated in Hitopadesha. Animals, human beings, what are we doing in common? We're all eating, we're all sleeping, we're all mating, we're all defending. That's what we have in common with all the different species of life. But there is something in addition to this which distinguishes us from other species of life, and that is Dharma. But then what is Dharma? This becomes a major question. What is Dharma? And we can say that all of Vedic literature is answering this question. And still, after reading so much Vedic literature, one may still be asking this question, what is Dharma? The answer that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, is rather shocking. What does Krishna say? He says, Sarva Dharman Prityaja Mam Ekam Sharanang Vraja. You give up, having given up all of your ideas of what is Dharma, and there will be so many ideas of what is Dharma. Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Go to the refuge of me. Go to my refuge. Krishna makes it very simple, you can say, but then the question comes, all right, how do I do that? How do I surrender to Krishna? Srila Prabhupada often would say, the Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs of spiritual life. After we learn our ABCs, after we learn our basic alphabet, after we learn how to read, then we proceed on. We don't give up the ABCs. Right? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur told that story, you may know, of the lady who hired a tutor for her son. And the tutor was teaching the boy geometry. And in the geometry lesson, the tutor was telling the boy, let A, B, and C be the three sides of a triangle. Right? We all have had this in school. Out of this, you derive some sort of proof about triangles and so on. Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Shishi Radha Rasabihari ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. Just as the tutor was beginning to explain this theorem of geometry, the mother walked in to the room and heard the tutor saying, let A, B, and C be the three sides of a triangle. Hearing that, what did she say? She said, hey, what is this? A, B, C. My boy already knows A, B, C. He has already learned this. You're wasting our time, you're wasting our money. You're fired. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur uses this story to make the point that actually we don't give up the basics to move on to the more advanced or more complex teaching. So the Bhagavad Gita, our ABCs, is a foundation. And we always return again and again and again to Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita. Of course, Sarva Dharman Parityaja is not the only thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita about Dharma. One might say that the point being made in this verse is an essential principle of Dharma. To understand the nature of the urges of the body and mind and the dangers that they have, and therefore the need for controlling them. As Srila Prabhupada quotes in Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajaguna Samudbhava Mahashano Maha, what is it? Mahapatma Vidhyenam Iha Vairinam. These are not just dangers, but enemies. Enemy means someone who wants to cause trouble, right? Later in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is discussing about the nature of the mind and how the mind is can be our friend or our enemy, depending on whether or not we control the mind. If the mind is our enemy, what does that mean? That means the enemy has penetrated into the fortress. The enemy is inside, and we are walking around with the enemy inside. Not only that, we're thinking the enemy is our friend. That puts us in big trouble when we think what has actually become our enemy is our friend. And of course, earlier in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, we get this very wonderful description of what you might call the domino theory of degradation. You know what is domino? You are sheltered. Anyway, dominoes are a game. Not exactly like dice. It's not exactly gambling, but dominoes are little chips which you stand on end. And the idea is when you put many of these next to each other, if you push one of them over, it will hit the next one over, which will hit the next, hit the next, hit the next. They'll all fall over. That's a domino. And they speak about it in politics also, domino theory. Anyway, that's another subject. But Krishna says, Jayato Vishayan Pungsa Sangaste Shukajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodat Avijayate. And then, it's not over yet. Krodat bhavati sangmoha. Sangmoha smriti vibrama. Smriti brangshat. Burinasha. Burinashat. Pranashati. Everything finished. Right? So it's one thing after another after another. And Prabhupada is making the point in the purport, if kama is not satisfied, that brings krodha. If krodha is not satisfied, it goes on and on until everything is lost. This verse is very interesting because it's making a slightly different, it's making a significantly different point. It's saying, you can satisfy kama. Really? We always understand you can never satisfy kama, right? Can we satisfy kama or can we not satisfy kama? What do you think? Yes? No? How many say yes? Two say yes. You're accepting the statement of Narada Muni. How many say we can not satisfy kama? You are rejecting the statement of Narada Muni. Oh, now we're in big trouble. How to reconcile? Huh? How to reconcile? One way to reconcile is that, yes, you can satisfy kama temporarily. But of course, what is that temporary satisfaction? It's actually putting fuel on the fire, right? It's putting fuel on the fire of kama and so on. The same, Narada is saying about Krodha. We can satisfy our anger. And sometimes we have this experience, yes? We become angry, some slight injustice has been done to us, right? And we suddenly become very self-righteous. You know this expression? Self-righteous. I have been offended, right? And now the world must suffer for it, right? And so we speak our anger. We send it out into the world. We tell the world, and then after expressing this, after some expression of this, then okay, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. So for some time it can be pacified. For some time, but not forever. But this verse is saying, it's making a contrast in order to highlight a problem, and that is the problem of greed. What is greed? Greed is essentially greed is the feeling I don't have enough. And behind that feeling is the feeling I am incomplete. I am lacking something. Isn't it? I am lacking something. I lack something and therefore I need to compensate. I need to make up for what I lack. So I'll go out and get whatever it is I need. And in order to get whatever it is I need, I will do whatever is necessary. I will trample over others. I will cheat. I will manipulate. I will... And in the process, I will compromise my position as a servant of the Lord. And we can say, you know, we can look at these issues that are discussed here and we can think, yes, anyway, that's all about the non-devotees. They have these problems. But I am devotee, I don't have this problem. As soon as we think like that, we have a problem. As soon as we think we have no problem, as soon as we think we are not endangered by the vegas, the pushings of kama, krodha, lobha, etc., then we have a problem, right? Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udarapasta vegam. Six vega are listed by Rupa Goswami in the beginning of his Upadeshamrita. And then what does he say? Etan vegan yo vishaheta dira sarvana pimang pritiving shashishyat. This verse refers to the globe, bhuva, and how one is attempting, when one is greedy, to conquer the world. Jano yati na lobhasya jitva buktva disho bhuva. But as for greed, even if a greedy person has conquered all the directions of the world or has enjoyed everything in the world, still he will not be satisfied. Conversely, if one is able to control the vega of the pushings of the body, which are the basis for greed, then prithiving shashishyat, everyone can learn from you if you become a controller of the senses. You become teacher of the world. That is the opportunity that our acharyas are giving us. We heard last night Narottam Prabhu in the evening program mentioned a song that I had not known. He mentioned that Srila Prabhupada had quoted a song from a popular music group. I can't get no satisfaction. This is bad English. It's slang English. Proper English would be, I cannot get any satisfaction. But the slang is, I can't get no satisfaction. But I try and I try and I try and I try. That's how the refrain of the song goes. I keep trying to get satisfaction, but I don't get it. How do we get satisfaction? That's what we're learning as aspiring devotees, as we learn how to be civilized. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, we learn, bhakti pareshano bhavo viratir anyatra chaisa trika eka kala prapadyamana se yatashnata syus tushti pushti kshut apaya anugasam. As this verse we're reading today speaks about the placation, the pacification of kama and krodha. This verse in the 11th canto explains how we can experience the joy, the satisfaction, the nourishment of bhakti, of devotion, which it divides into three different aspects: bhakti, paresha anubhava, and virakti. Bhakti, devotion, para isha anubhava, the experience of the Lord, and virakta means vairagya, detachment. Tushti pushti kshut apaya, just as one experiences simultaneously satisfaction, nourishment, and the reduction apaya, the reduction of hunger, kshut, as one eats. It's not a separate. It's not that these are separate principles, but simultaneously, as we eat, we have become satisfied, we become nourished, and our hunger is relieved. Similarly, we become satisfied by the practice of bhakti. We become nourished as we experience the Lord. We experience the Lord. Just as here in the temple, we experience the Lord is present. We have that, we recognize the beauty of the Lord. He is here. And virakti, we practice giving up, letting go of that which we don't need. The tendency to pursue, to get things which we don't already have ourselves can be overcome by asking ourselves, do I really need this? When you ask this question, you are engaging your intelligence, your buddhi, which is above the mind. The mind, remember, tends to be our enemy. And how is it our enemy? It closes itself off from the intelligence. How do you open the mind to the intelligence? You open the mind to your intelligence by challenging the mind. And how do you challenge the mind? By questioning. And how do you question? Very simple. Do I need this? And if I have something that is, I experience as a burden, this may be in the form of an emotion. For example, anger. I feel some anger. That is natural. Anger is coming. We are embodied beings, so anger comes for so many reasons. Then we can ask ourselves, do I need this anger? Am I this anger, or is this anger something which is temporary, which has simply come and which I can let go? Do I have to jump on the boat of this anger as it is passing me by? Or can I let it pass? Do I have to jump on the boat of this acquisitiveness, this desire for acquisition, or can I just let it pass? Do I have to jump onto the boat of this desire for enjoyment, or can I just let it pass? Because I am not the boat. I am different from the boat. We are not these bodies, which means we are not the senses, we are not the mind. But to realize that, we ask ourselves, do I need this? Then we can come gradually to understand what Srila Prabhupada explains in a wonderful passage. I believe it's in the introduction to his Ishopanishad, to the invocation verse. What is that verse? Om Purnam Adaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Avashishyate. The word Purna, what does it mean? Complete. And it's explaining how if you take the complete whole away from the complete whole, what do you have? Complete whole. 1 - 1 = 1 in spiritual mathematics. And in Prabhupada's discussion of that verse, he explains that all forms, all experience of incompleteness, as I said, this is the feeling that we have of incompleteness, out of which comes a sense of greed. All sense of incompleteness, what does it come from? It comes from an incomplete knowledge of the complete whole, from an incomplete understanding of our completeness. So what does that mean? That means what we have to learn in spiritual life is, amongst so many principles, that we in ourselves, as part and parcel of the complete whole Supreme Personality of Godhead, are complete ourselves. I want to end with a story. You may know this from Mahabharata, which says something about this problem of greed, and that is the situation prior to the developments of the conflict between the Kauravas and the Pandavas when King Drupada and Drona meet. After many years, they had been friends as children, very good friends. And as children, they had said to each other a kind of agreement, a kind of vow. They said, let us share everything that we have with each other equally. That was a very nice mood that they had. But after some time, as things happen, we are separated from our friends, circumstances come. After so many years, their lives have gone in very different directions. Drupada has become king, and Drona has become a pauper, extremely poor Brahmana. And Drona goes to visit his friend one day, and he reminds him of their agreement as children. What is Drupada's response? He says, we were children at that time. This cannot apply now because we are in completely different circumstances. It is not proper. It is not dharma. He was arguing on the basis of varna dharma. He was saying it's not correct. We cannot share equally. That is not possible. So Drona, of course, he goes away empty-handed. Eventually, he becomes the military instructor for the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And when he has given them all of his teachings and they are graduating, the Pandavas and the Kauravas ask him for his request. What does he wish as dakshina for his teaching? And he says, oh yes, I have a very specific request for you. I want you to go and attack the kingdom of Drupada. Bring me King Drupada and his kingdom. Well, they're now very expert warriors and they're very powerful and they are very successful and they prove their power and their ability by conquering Drupada's kingdom and bringing King Drupada to Drona. And Drona says, you know, we had an agreement as children that we would share everything. But you decided to neglect that agreement. I will not neglect that agreement. I will keep that agreement. Now I possess the entire kingdom. Now I will give you half of the kingdom. And so in great shame and great embarrassment, King Drupada accepted half of the kingdom. And it goes on from there. He maintains a spirit of envy against Drona. And therefore, so much happens that leads into, eventually, to Drona's death. All of this within a context of a basic misunderstanding of what is dharma. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur helps us to understand what is dharma, in particular varna and ashrama dharma, which is the topic of these several chapters, by using the term daivi, by saying there is varna ashrama dharma, there is daivi varna ashrama dharma. By making this distinction, he makes very clear what is our task. Our task is to create a beautiful structure a beautiful temple of Krishna Bhakti for the glorification of the Lord, for which we may use a scaffolding. You know what is scaffolding? A scaffold is a temporary structure you make. Usually here in India, you use bamboo to build up around the building so that the workers can climb up to do their work. When the building is complete, what happens with that scaffolding? You take it down. You don't need it anymore. That is what Daivi Varnashram is. It's a little more complicated than that because there's also, it appears there's something like Varnashrama in the spiritual world. So it gets a little more complicated. But for my purpose, for this point, I think this makes a helpful analogy because we talk so much about Varnashram. What is the, how does it relate to our practice? It relates in this way. It facilitates us in the practice of bhakti. And in the practice of bhakti, everything takes its proper perspective. And in that perspective, then, we also transform, we can transform our emotions to become emotions for service to Krishna. Even greed can be used in the service of Krishna. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is saying in his final paragraph, short paragraph of this verse. He says, if one is very greedy to enhance one's Krishna consciousness, this is a great boon. Tatra lolyam ekalam mulam. This is the best path available. Lolyam means greed. Here, it means greed for service to Krishna. That's the solution. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Are there any further comments, perhaps, by Maharaj? You want to add something? Microphone.
Narottam Das Thakur just, he advises how to utilize these things in Krishna service. Kama Krishna Karma Arpane, Krodha Abhakta Deshi Jane, Lobha Sadhu Sange, Hari Katha or Hari Naam.
Thank you, yes. Translation?
So, Kama, these three things are due to mood of passion. So, Krishna Karma Arpane, you can work for Krishna. Not satisfied. You can go on working and working and working, not satisfied. So you can do more, build temple after one, after one, after after. If you're satisfied, not satisfied in Krishna service, then it's okay. Similarly, Krodha, Prabhupada gave the example of Hanuman, how he burnt Lanka.
Yes.
And Lobha also, you're not satisfied hearing Krishna Katha or chanting holy names. This way you can utilize it in Krishna service.
Good. Thank you very much. Maharaj, Radharaman Maharaj, do you want to add some?
I think perfectly Maharaj explained how we can use our different type of urges in the service of Krishna. Here Maharaj very nicely mentioned about the lobha. If you have greed, then greed for association of devotees and greed for hearing from their mouth. Now that's very nicely said.
Greed for association with devotees and greed for hearing Krishna Katha. Yes. Basic principle. Thank you. Anything else? Any question? Yes, Narottam Prabhu. The famous how can we question. This was the question I had opportunity once to ask Srila Prabhupada a question, and this was the question I asked. How can we give up? I put it this way, how can we give up attachment to this material body? Because Srila Prabhupada had given a nice lecture on Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 verse 14. Matra sparshastu kanteya shitoshna sukadukada agama apaino nityastang titikshasva bharata. It's Krishna's first practical instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Tangs titikshasva, tolerate. What do we tolerate? We tolerate the dualities of life. Anyway, Prabhupada gave a very powerful lecture on this verse. And then I asked this question. Actually, in my question, I said, how can we give up this desire? And Prabhupada's answer, he said, no desire. And then he proceeded to quote the famous verse, Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti, anya bilashita shunyam, jnana karma dhyanavritam, anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttamam. And he explained this verse, what is pure bhakti? And then he gave a kind of list of examples of different devotional activities one can do for Krishna. So he said, you can clean the temple for Krishna, you can cook for Krishna, you can do the worship of the deity for Krishna. Like that, he gave a few examples. You can do this for Krishna, that for Krishna, the other for Krishna. And then in the final example that he gave in this list, he said, you can drive a car for Krishna. Now at this point, everyone present laughed. And the reason everyone laughed is that the devotees knew at that time, my service, I was the temple driver. That was my service. I was one of the few devotees who had a driver's license. So this was my big qualification. So that was my service. I had to drive here, there, and do the shopping and take away the garbage and so many things. Now, I'm sure that this was not a subject which was informed to Srila Prabhupada. He was visiting our temple. This was in Germany in 1974. There were so many devotees. I was one of so many devotees. There was for sure no reason whatsoever that any of his servants or secretary or whoever would have had reason to say, Srila Prabhupada, there's this devotee, his name is Krishna Kshetradas, and he's the temple driver. No reason. Absolutely no reason. Therefore, when Prabhupada said, you can drive a car for Krishna, I thought, oh, this is really interesting. Prabhupada, somehow or other, he knows how. How is the somehow or other? Because Paramatma is there. He must know. Krishna tells him as he needs to know. But that is, to answer your question, this is our process. It is, and Prabhupada emphasized how many times. He said it's a gradual process. Gradual, and he would often speak, of course, pure devotional service, and he would use the word unalloyed, right? unalloyed. So what is that expression come from? It comes from metallurgy. When you have most items which are made with gold are not pure gold. Why? Because pure gold is extremely soft. As a metal, it's hard to, you know, keep a structure for any object that you make out of gold. 24 karat gold is just too soft, so they'll mix it with something else, some other metal. Unalloyed gold, how do you get? You have to heat it. Well, heat, what is that word in Sanskrit? What is the word for heat? Tapa, tapas. Through austerity. And what is austerity? Srila Prabhupada wants to find. It means voluntarily accepting some difficulty for the purpose of serving the Lord. That is austerity. That is austerity. That is heat. That is the heating process by which the gold, which is our pure Krishna consciousness, becomes pure. Now, for this process to work, we have to have the conviction that indeed there is pure gold, that indeed we have the potential of pure devotional service. Often what is keeping us from that purity is the sense that actually I am so mixed. My devotion is so mixed that maybe it's not possible. No, we have to cultivate the conviction that pure devotional service is possible. And for that, we have to also be ready to allow the heart to become completely soft. And this is a challenge, because what are our tendencies as living beings with material bodies? Our tendencies are to make into our priority the animal functions, eating, sleeping, procreation, and defending. Especially this defending tendency is there, which is we are putting some hard shell around the heart. Because we feel, in order to, you know, live in this world, I have to defend. So bhakti is about, it's very much about letting go in the conviction that the pure gold of the heart will be all that I need. That's a challenge. So it's a gradual process. Yes, I don't know what our time for stopping is. Is there a...
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Is it? Let me just ask the time we should stop. 9:30, okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for the class. Maharaj, you were mentioning about that intelligence that... start challenging the mind by questioning, do I really need this? On this, I would like to ask that many times I have tried asking, I take a step to ask this question, that do I really need this? But then I don't get a very clear cut answer from my mind. Like, I have taken this step to go ahead and ask that do I really need this? Anything, yeah. Any gadget or anything that may be. So how to get that clear-cut answer? Why there is so much vagueness in trying to decide whether do I really need this?
Yeah, good question. The fact that you are asking yourself the question is already half the battle. You're halfway there. And the answer is, keep asking. Keep asking yourself. And as you keep asking yourself, more and more, the answer will become clear. The answer becomes clear as we understand, as we understand more and more our completeness. We gain confidence. We are in this mood of acquisition, of acquiring. It may be material things. It may be surrounding ourselves with friends. It may be wealth. It may be reputation. Whatever it is, we're gathering these things as crutches. We think we need, you know, this support in order to be whoever we think we are. See, part of the question that implied in this question, do we need this? Do I need this? Do I need that? Is the question, do I understand who I actually am? How much am I assuming about who I am, and how much of who I think I am is just my, imagination of who I am? Right? So keep asking yourself. and then more and more you'll find, yes, I can stand on my own two feet, so to say. I don't need these crutches. And then you'll see whatever you may feel is important, you can also see how it's important for service, and thus it becomes purified. But we always have to be careful with that. Yes, Yukta Vairagya is very much our principle. Rupa Goswami gives us this principle, Yukta Vairagya. One way to translate yukta is appropriate. Appropriate renunciation. It's not just we give everything, okay, you know, as Prabhupada says, we walk by a bank and say, I renounce this bank. That doesn't mean anything. Right? So appropriate renunciation. We make use of whatever we have, whatever the Lord gives us, recognizing the Lord has given me this facility, this capacity, this power, this material, these material goods. Let me now use in the Lord's service. In this way, it becomes sacrifice. It becomes yajna. Is that okay? Yes, from.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for wonderful class. As this verse you are describing, that the karma can be fulfilled at least temporarily. So generally the tendency goes is, even if that temporary is there, no problem. I can work harder to satisfy temporarily for eternity. So that's how it goes. And then he doesn't come out of that temporary situation. He feels that I should make that temporary situation into permanent thing by satisfying it, by increasing my capacity. So how that person comes out of such kind of mentality?
If I understand right, you're saying the logic of conditioned life is, let me satisfy and then again satisfy and again satisfy, and the presupposition is that will lead to permanent satisfaction, right? Yeah. Therefore we hear Shastra, therefore we hear that's not going to work. it's as simple as that. And then we think, okay, that's not going to work, so what will work? Because we're after satisfaction. We all want happiness. We all want satisfaction. We're going to... It's our natural response. If we see that banging my head against a brick wall only brings more and more pain, right? Then at some point we will stop and think, is there some other way of acting? Is there some way, you know, instead of trying to break the wall, which is breaking my head, maybe I can go through the door. That's natural. So Shastra helps us to recognize that the temporary satisfaction coming again and again and again is not only it's not giving the permanent satisfaction, but it's increasing the fuel on the fire of kama, of lust, which is just increasing the dissatisfaction. But to understand that, Shastra is there. Sadhus are there. Guru is there. Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Hridaye Koriya Aikya. The message of the sadhus, the shastra, the guru, become a singularity, an aikya, a clear understanding in the heart. And when we start to see that, then ado shraddha tata sadhu sangota, then the whole process up through to prema. So it's very much about being self-critical. We tend to get a little complacent. You know this word, complacent? Complacent? Sort of self-satisfied, I'm okay, you're okay. And we need to cultivate a little sense of, not just a little sense, a big sense, of urgency, that the clock is moving, the time of my life, this life, it is reducing at a completely steady rate. Yesterday I went out here to the beach and was chanting japa down to where the airplanes fly directly overhead into the airport. And it's early morning, it's not light yet, so you can see sometimes three airplanes in a line in the distance from their lights coming in off the ocean, right? And they become closer and closer, and then you can, at one point, quite suddenly, you can hear, and then it's just a few seconds, and then it's landing. So it occurred to me, our life is something like that. We maybe see, or we don't see, off in the distance, that the end of our life is coming. It's silent, and so we're thinking, I must have so many more years to my life. And so this brings a sense of complacency. But it's coming steadily. That airplane is coming at... It's about to land, so it's... I don't know what it is, 250 kilometers per hour or something. When it's high up, it's maybe 500 kilometers or more per hour. But 200, you know, it's quite fast. But it doesn't look like it because it's way in the distance, right? It just seems like, oh, it's just crawling along. And so we feel, yes, life's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. But that plane is coming in at a fast speed. And at one point, suddenly you'll hear it. And what is that hearing? In my analogy, it means the body is really breaking down. And, you know, the medical help, at one point the doctor is going to say, sorry, I can't do anything more for you. Right? So like that, the urgency is there. As we speak, the urgency is there. Thank you all so much for your kind attention. I wish you a wonderful day today in the service of Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Ananta Goti Vaishnavarinda ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hare Krishna.